Hey everybody, welcome again to Each on the News. We've got David Leon. He's the Director of Sales Engineering over at a company called Perception Point. And we'll dig into that. He's got some insights about what people are doing on LinkedIn. Those bad people again, man. All right, David, welcome. How are you? All
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
right. So let's just double click on this. First of all, tell us a bit about Perception Point. What do you guys do? What do you bring to the table in cyber?
Sure. So the official tagline is that we are leading the charge against protecting the modern workspace. So we're mostly known for email protection, but we also provide protection for other what we call collaboration channels, which are things like OneDrive, SharePoint, Teams, and evolving attack vectors that we see now. And that also extends into the browser protection, alluding to things like LinkedIn and some of the stuff we were just mentioning there.
All right. I mean, and as as you all know, we all see, right? Nobody's working in an office really anymore. They're kind of working wherever. I could tell you some crazy places. We've actually done interviews in front of cafes, in cars. It's just insane what we're doing these days. But there we are, the new world we're living in. And now the attack vectors are coming in, even stronger than before. So tell us a bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. So email still makes up over 90% of the way that companies are breached or at least attacked. But what we're seeing, at least across our customer base, is an increase in certain areas. So, for example, we've seen an increase a little bit in Salesforce-related attacks. I don't think people realize there's no protection in there. But there's been a big increase around BEC attacks, especially since the advent of ChatGPT and WormGPT and all that. Used to be really easy to kick some of that stuff out. Now it's gotten far more complex because they're able to create more convincing attacks, and the attacks themselves change. So the wording changes every single time they send it, things like that. So you really have to be able to do what they're doing in reverse to block it. And then, of course, the challenge there is also doing it in a manner that's expeditious so that you're not getting anybody having a 10-minute mail delivery delay or something like that. And now we're starting to see big issues in LinkedIn and other job posting sites where people are getting sent fake job links. And that kind of increased during COVID and has gotten more and more effective as they've been honing these kits that you can buy online.
Apparently, David, there's about 200,000 ways for a bad actor to get into your world and create havoc, but they're only using about, I think it's like 1,400. Because hey, why go to 1,401 when the first 1,400 is working? It's a lot, man, for a human, let alone just an employee, to be being to defend all this stuff 24/7, right? And it's bridging on the personal side too, right? I mean, what you're doing in work is sort of melting into your personal world. So you can, it's sort of like it's kind of moving, it's blurring, right? Tell us a bit about that and how, it's changing the way we work and play.
Well, sure. So it's more of the other, at least from my side, what I see is more of the other way around. So some organizations, for example, let you access personal email at work. And even if they don't, people will research you on LinkedIn. And now if they can find your social media, then maybe they can get your personal address. They send you a phishing attack there. People are so likely to use the same password inside and outside of work that even when you get something from another channel, whether that be if you're looking for a job offer, and something comes in like that, or if you're doing something else where somebody sends you a document says sign in, they now capture your password. They then scrape your data from the internet and try it at what they assume is your place of business based on what they find on LinkedIn or elsewhere. And now you're compromised, not just in your personal life, but also your work is now compromised as well. So it's kind of one hand feeding the other. And same thing with buying data from other companies that are breached. They'll try it on your personal stuff if they can find it. So unfortunately, it's all interconnected, and it's why it's super important to make sure that we're always changing passwords, using multi-factor authentication, and then using any best practices for security that you can.
It's kind of weird to me. We're thinking in today's world that we would use your same password for a Facebook or some random, access account, whatever, and you're using the same passwords, for your business or your, let alone your bank, right? I didn't even know how widespread is it, right? I don't even think there's really data that points to it. What's your gut feeling, or maybe you have data?
I don't have exact numbers and stuff like that. I think it's too hard to quantify, really.
Yeah.
But when you look at the number of breached accounts and you assume that the majority of these people are working somewhere, attackers don't really care. So sometimes we see targeted attacks, which those are very special and we can handle those a certain way. But most of the attacks are just throwing it out there and hoping somebody responds to it. And so because of that, it's kind of just a smattering of stuff. Whatever you can get off the internet, just throw it at every email address that you can find with every password combination that you can find and hope that something sticks. Same thing with the phishing kits. They're very generic and they just blast it out to anybody that they can get data from. So really anybody that uses the internet with any regularity is kind of subject to that.
You know, it used to be the train of thought that imagine the amount of work that it would take for a bad actor like a human, right, to go through your information and, you know, figure out all the 20, 30, 50 ways, right, to attack you. But now with the AI thing, all right, they can sort of like set an autopilot in a way, and the thing does its magic, and now it's hitting you in a million ways, all right?
Well, absolutely. So the big thing was what we refer to as BEC attacks or business email compromise attacks, where instead of a phishing link or sending a virus, which is far less common now, they're sending just plain emails. Or it could even be a thread hijack where I communicate with you as a vendor, the vendor gets compromised, they steal a thread, they buy a domain one letter off, or say you have a W and I use two V's. I paste the whole thread back in with the whole existing conversation, but I change the banking routing information or something like that. And then there's an errant payment. So we really need systems to kind of help protect against that kind of stuff. And the fact that you can now fix broken English, a lot of these attackers that are foreign used to be pretty easy to pick up on. Now they can match writing styles or reword things, and it's just become more and more difficult to identify.
You gotta give the hats off to the bad actors though, because man, they're really like digging into like every single vulnerability. It's like if you want to know where your vulnerabilities are, you know, just wait a minute and they'll help you figure it out. Because and this cat and mouse game that we've got, right? What could they do next? Oh, I see they're doing this. So they're doing this. Maybe they could also do that. And then you know you're trying to guess the mission. It's not easy sitting in your seat, right?
It's not. I'm thankful for some of the systems we have that some of the stuff that we can catch is automated, but that's thanks to the engineering behind some of the engines. I've seen us catch things that nobody knew about before. We were credited a couple years ago with a Mac OS exploit that happened. And this is specific to Mac, which is unusual for a virus to begin with. And luckily, our version of a sandbox, which is called the Hardware Assisted Platform, that was able to pick up on it. But we submitted it and got credit for the discovery of that CVE because no one knew it existed. Somebody was leveraging it against one of our customers. We happened to catch it. But if that made it through, or if they weren't using protection, and that could have been the next thing that was a news headline, and
Congrats,
scary.
because you know what? That's the kind of stuff that people don't hear about very often. You know, we only hear about the blowups, right? Oh my God, this person got breached, a billion, whatever, accounts got compromised. And we never hear about all the other stuff that's being, you know, stopped, right? And it's the job. It's like almost like the silent majority, right? If you're stopping 99.999% of the attacks, no one hears about it, but the 1.1%, you know, everybody's gonna like, God, that's the guy, that's the person that did it, right? So how do you feel about
For
that, by the
sure.
way? And what do you want people to know about how hard this is?
I think that people don't always appreciate the fact that machines aren't humans. So you may see something that looks silly. Every once in a while, I may see a false negative, something I went through that should have been caught by the system, and we're reviewing it to see, well, how did this get in and how do we make sure it doesn't get in again in the future? And you may look at it and say, well, this is obviously XYZ, but the machines, even using image recognition, don't look at it the same way we do. We're looking for specific, minute pieces of evidence. And even though we may be looking for tens of thousands of those, if they're not present or if not present enough in volume to weight it and tip the scales to malicious, it is something that can get in the system. there's things that can happen. The other thing that I think is important that you mentioned is we don't hear about it a lot, and I think we're making strides in forcing companies to disclose when they've had a breach, not just for your own personal protections, but obviously, I don't think that Apple, for example, would want to tout that they have a zero-day exploit and let everyone know until they have a patch out, obviously, because you don't want people to try to exploit it. But also, nobody patches immediately because they want to see if the patch breaks stuff, unless it's a hot fix for something. So, in general, you have two sides of this. You have the people that don't want to admit fault, so you don't hear a lot about it. And then you have the people that are doing the attacks that don't want to tell you about it either. So I think the makes a lot of sense that you don't hear about the catches.
Well, then you hear about the state actors, finding these complicated hacks, right? And then they're sharing it with the community of bad actors. So, I mean, it's a lot of moving parts, my friend. And I think we've seen this from the inside out of the belly of the beast. It's a tough nut to crack. And for every one thing you do, it's like almost like guacamole. You hit one down, and the four pops up, and this at some point you got to say, you take it's your turn. I can't keep doing it, because at some point, man, there is this level of mental stress from a human just looking at all these red dots popping up on the screen and false positives, and there's a yellow one and there's a green one. Oh my God, we got some greens today. Great. But at some point, technology's got to up the game and reduce those reds, if you will, right? Those flags. Are we winning that with AI a little bit? Are we there?
I think that it's helping a lot. So one of the unique things about how our product works on the back end is we call them decisions, but they're minute pieces of data that have correlation. So in the past, some products would have rules where you say, like, if I see an emoji, this is spam. So flag it as spam because it's got an emoji in it. But now emojis are part of just sending an email from your phone or being under 30 years old, or so you can't just do that anymore. So you need to say, like, if I see an emoji, for example, with salesy wording, and the structure of the email looks like it's got coupons or it's got like an ad in the middle and it's structured in a certain way, then it's spam. Otherwise, it's a clean email. And if I see anything bad, then it's malicious. That's a very, very simplistic answer, but you'd be surprised at how infrequently something like that could cause an issue, a false positive, or get something that's important sent to a junk folder. So being able to use that logic in AI to add context instead of just hard and fast blanket rules helps reduce false positives and false negatives, which is obviously paramount to the user experience. My background is more coming up in the MSP space, and then I've worked in some regulated industries in IT, so I'm very used to auditors. And one of the things you don't want to do when you're working one of these jobs, or even as an MSP, is constantly have to pay attention to somebody didn't get an email. I'm building a server farm. I have to drop what I'm doing to go research an email and see if I'm supposed to release it for 10 minutes. And then I got to go back to what I'm doing and try to remember what I was doing. So being able to do all this kind of stuff, it just empowers the team to be better, focus on the stuff they have to focus on. And AI has really driven that. We've had a couple of new additions using AI as well that improve automation. And we have an incident response team that comes with the product for free, and it frees up that team from doing a lot of the basic clicky work into doing more active threat hunting for the stuff that we do have, like maybe a miss for or something that we see that's new that we want to add new protections for but haven't seen yet in the wild, stuff like that. So it's empowered the humans to do more and waste less time, and I think that that's where the real value is going to be. You're still always going to need humans because AI is only as smart as the humans that are training it. And the other part that you have to keep in mind with security, which I feel might be a little underappreciated, is you can't use it like normal AI where it just learns from everything, because then people can send false data in, untrain the model, or train the model to intentionally miss something and then send in an attack. So you have to be very deliberate about how you're managing your AI and how it's applied to whatever task you have it doing.
Yeah, man. I love the word, man. Clickiness. It's really cool. Reduce your clicky stuff. I'm going to use that. As an MSP, I'm going to double click on this since you are, coming from an MSP background. I mean, put yourself back in the shoe of an MSP. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that's they have to do these days, right? The responsibility is no more like, hey, I'm going to sell you this computer. and a couple of printers and some networking, a little firewall, we're good. Now it's like, man, I got to have all this protection of your computer. You're working from everywhere. You know, I got cyber insurance. You got compliance issues, regulation stuff. The lawyers are now knocking on my door. You know, there's a lot more pressures. What's your take on what's happening today and how maybe some advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that using, and I don't mean, I'm just saying in the context of Perception Point, but there's other products out there as well that offer similar things. There's a lot of vendors that are recognizing this need. The incident response team, for example, that we offer gives a lot of time back for the MSP to do some of those other jobs. Some of them are in the position of, I can't just go and hire an entire SOC. Maybe I get one guy that's really good at security, but this guy is super overloaded because he or she is managing, you know, 50 clients or whatever. Yeah. And there's too much stuff coming in. So being able to leverage other systems, smarter XDR systems that are out there, I don't think XDR is really where the advertising says it is. There's still far too many
False trails. You mean the marketing people are not embellishing it? Yeah. Come on.
No. And I don't think there's an agreed upon definition, because it seems like you can look at two XDR products and they don't even remotely do the same thing. But as far as that goes, like, it's very hard to tune down the alerting. So any systems that you can have that are a bit more advanced that help kind of do that stuff for you, or an outsourced SOC or whatever you can afford to do, would be helpful depending on your situation. But one guy doing one body doing the SOC stuff is just not going to cut it. And that's where I think companies like Perception Point can really add extra value, because you're getting the team with it and you're allowed to interact with the team and benefit. And like I said, there's products in other verticals and other specialties that also do something similar. And leveraging that in your stack is probably the best way to scale without having to hire a bunch of people.
Yeah, I mean, I just go one step, for instance, impossible for a human to do this stuff. I mean, it's taking a village and it's getting more complicated. And at some point you just burn out people, right? I mean, you know, we're not machines. You know, the other thing, you know, I want to talk, is there an example that you know, you've seen with, particularly with LinkedIn or any kind of social networks where sort of like the bad actors was able to, you know, get in?
Oh yeah. I mean, we have on our website recently, actually, a similar kind of attack, and it happened personally. It happened to my cousin 2 months ago.
Okay.
So what we saw recently, though, is, for example, in this was in Europe, but the customer received a message on LinkedIn. It was for, I think it was a sales invoice. And when you clicked on it, it took you to log into like a Dropbox kind of page. And then that page was just a very generic kind of general page with a link on it. And then when you have to click on that link, it then took you to the document, which you had to sign in with a Microsoft account, where they were stealing your credentials. And that's referred to as a two-step phishing account. Or attack rather. So those are much harder to detect, because you have to actually go to the page, but then the page isn't actually dangerous, but then you have to click on the link, go to the link, and then flag the link as dangerous. So this is something that's kind of complicated to protect. Luckily in this case, and the reason I saw it is because the customer has our browser protection. So the browser protection runs real-time scanning. So it's not just threat intelligence, it's actually analyzing the page and using image recognition on it. And we're able to kick the person off of that page and then block it, and then notify the admins that this link had been accessed. So that's something that recently came in through LinkedIn. With my cousin, same thing happened with a job offer. It was a bogus job offer to read this PDF. You've got to sign in, you know, that kind of stuff. Luckily, he called me before he signed in. He's like, I've never had to sign in for a PDF. Is this okay? I was like, don't click on that. But it is something that's happening a lot. And there are things that people are circumventing at work. You know, this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier about using your personal accounts and stuff like that. Well, obviously I don't want work to know I'm looking for a job. So I'm going to do everything I can to kind of skirt any monitoring. But if I'm using the same passwords and then that gets compromised, they go try it on my work account. Now they're in the environment. So it's beneficial to have that kind of 360 protection, even for things that you're not really concerned about at the moment. It seems like those are the areas where you're most vulnerable, because attackers are picking up that it's getting harder and harder to get through email.
Well, the attackers know it already, right? And I guess you're still going to be able to invite your cousin over to the barbecues and stuff. So he hasn't breached your security protocol. Just a good point to just to double click on this before we jump off is that the attack vectors are coming from everywhere, including your family, including your friends. I mean, we all know we're likely to click on something that is coming from a family or a friend, then even maybe work, right? And because of that, the attack vector is getting more clever. So, I mean, it's sort of like a lot of stuff for a human to deal with. But you know what? Welcome to 2024, man. If you want, you know, take the blue pill or the red pill. Which one do you want? You know, you got to make a decision at some point. I'll let you wrap this up, David. What do you want everybody to know about the organization and your website address for them to learn more?
Sure. So the website address is perception-point.io, and they can learn more. And there's tons of information, so I'm not going to bore people with that. But I would encourage you, if you do visit the website, to go look at some of the channels, analyze your current security posture, and see. A lot of times people look at the channels we protect and realize that they didn't even need to protect it. The fact that the product exists was a concern. Like I said, the browser protection is something that is pretty unique as far as how we offer it compared to the rest of the market. And other things, like I said, about Salesforce and stuff like that, people didn't realize there's zero protection in Salesforce. You can send anything you want in there and it does not get scanned by anything. So just if nothing else, then for the knowledge, I would go check out the blogs and some of the interesting stuff on our page.
Well, they should check it a little, go a little deeper and spin it up, because like you said, you know, there's this myth, right, that everybody thinks that every application, every cloud vendor, everybody is sort of like protecting, you know, your data, right? But it's just not true. You know, getting an instance on these applications, right, does not mean your instance is protected. So you can get to use it, but you know, you got to protect your stuff. So it's a big thing. And kudos, I just want to put a little kudos about you know, one of the things in trying to educate the channel community and their customers about this stuff is how to educate them, like how to better get the message across. And I love the concept in your new website with the rings around the human as they walk around. It's a really cool idea to show people that there is, you know, something that can protect you, and helping the end customer to understand why these things matter is a very big challenge of almost every MSP. I'm sure you'd agree as an MSP, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I think is worth mentioning, like you said, as far as spinning it up, if anybody has questions, if they want to learn more on the website, the RPOCs are obviously free and takes about 15 minutes to stand it up. You can enable it on 5 different channels in 15 minutes if you wanted to. So a lot of it is one-click integrations. It's easy enough to at least test and just A/B with what you're using to see if there's value. And we're there to like help answer questions. You're not just left alone to your own devices. We have the incident response team there that'll help answer stuff for you. So, I mean, I've had people do it just to see, you know, just to learn what they've got coming in. So I think that there's value there. And I don't mean it in a salesy way. I mean it from an educational standpoint. Same thing with, like I said, about the blog post. So,
look, I mean, you're an MSP as well, David. So you know, it has weight, right? As a matter of fact, we only prefer to listen to MSPs because they understand how to live in the front lines, right? And the MSP is the group of people on the front lines every day. So good stuff, man. Thanks for, you know, bringing it to our attention. We certainly got educated too. So it's good stuff. Sounds like a fantastic solution. I don't understand why an MSP wouldn't want to spin it up and check it out. So just go to the website and check it out and invest 15 minutes of your life. And who knows, you might save a whole bunch of stuff. All right. Thanks, David. Keep it up, man.
Julian, thank you very much.